Amen. Lord, where are you at? By this time, he already stinketh. Been dead for 4 days. But how many know with God, things that are impossible to man are possible to the God that we serve. And it's never too late. It's never too late. Our God is able to show up. And somebody said, show off and do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in our life. Folk, it's so good to be here today. I'm just so thrilled, amen, to be back here with all of you. It's been quite a while, and I just count this a great honor and a privilege to see all of you, all your beautiful smiling faces. And I want to say I appreciate Brother Jim Haynes so very much. Appreciate him thinking about me as an evangelist and having me come and preach. And I just love him so much. And I'm thankful for a man that when the program of God needs him, he's able to step up, stand at the plate, take charge, and do a great job. Amen. And I'm sorry he didn't go to Hawaii. There'll be a time he will go again. But I'm glad he's here today. I'm glad Sister Haynes is here today. And I appreciate these folks so very much. And I just love this guy. Man, he's top notch. He's the best. And I appreciate him. I appreciate being able to call him my friend. And I thank him for calling me and allowing me to come back, amen, and break the bread of life today with you. If you have your Bible, let's go. Turn to the smallest. I believe it's the smallest. If it's not Jude may be the very smallest, but the book of Philemon only has one chapter, but has 25 verses. Very, very, very small. But how many know and how many believe that dynamite still comes in small packages? Come on now. And I believe there's some dynamite in this little passage of scripture. And as I said, lately, I have really felt led to get back to basics and preach about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I preach Christ and I preach him crucified. As I said, the answer is in the cross. You know, Jesus, he was willing to come and be born of a Virgin Mary. He left the portals of glory. He left heaven and came here and walked amongst us. The Bible said that God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. For 33 and a half years, wow, blind eyes were open. The lame walked, cripples were healed. He fed 5,000 besides women and children. The dead were even raised. But with all these wonderful things, how God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. With all these wonderful things that he did, if he had come to the cross and looked at it, said, I don't believe I'm going through with this one. You know, the Bible said he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have said, that's enough. I'm not going to do this. It's gone too far. And if he had done that with all the good that he had done, you and I would be so lost this morning. Our eternity would look bleak and black, and we would have nothing but torment the rest of our life. But I'm thankful that Jesus hung on that old rugged cross and looked down upon that crowd that spat upon him and put the crown of thorns upon his head and thrust the spear into his side and mistreated him like they did. And he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Somebody said it was the big arms of the Roman soldiers that held him to the cross. Somebody said, no, I believe it were, it had to be more than that. No doubt it was the crowd that wouldn't let him escape or get away. But as I said, he could have called 10,000 angels, friend. You know what held him and kept him on that cross? A word called love. He loved you so much and he loved me so much. One songwriter said, when he was on the cross, thank God I was on his mind. And it was love that held him there. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And I thank God for that love. Philemon, the book of Philemon, chapter 1 and verse 18. If he hath wronged thee, or if he owes thee aught, put that on my account. In other words, Paul said, charge it to me. You know, we Americans, we know all too well or very well about charge accounts. Amen. How many's got a few credit cards? No, don't raise your hand. But you've got some credit cards in your purse or in your wallet this morning. We know how to say, charge it today and I'll pay you next week. Who was the little character that said, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today? Remember that one? Wimpy, his name was Wimpy. We all know well about charge accounts, paying it later. Why, if you have a good charge account this morning, you can leave this house of worship and buy yourself the most wonderful meal in the city of San Jose, California, or Campbell. You can leave here today and why, you can buy a gallon of gas for your car, or you can fill it up, or hey, you can just buy yourself a brand new car through charging and having good credit. I heard about one guy, he had so much credit, his credit was so good, he bought an airplane simply by swiping an American Express card. Charge it. Charge. Well, today before us in the Word of God, we see a story where a charge account was mentioned. This is a story of a runaway slave by the name of Onesimus. The Bible don't give us a lot of information why he was a slave or how long he had been a slave or really don't tell us much about his life. But it lets us know that he did run from that plantation and he ran hard and he ran far. But the beautiful thing of it is this, he ran right into the path of the Apostle Paul. And friend, you can't be around Paul very long without Paul wanting to tell you about a Damascus Road experience. How that he was lost and on his road to hell. How that he was the chiefest of sinners. But he said, I saw the Lord. I heard his voice. He saved me. He delivered me. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. And my life has never been the same since. Matter of fact, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Paul was a mighty man of God, mightily used of the Lord. I don't know of a more powerful apostle of Jesus than the great apostle Paul. Can you say amen? So this young man runs right into the path of Paul. And Paul gets him converted, gets him saved. And then Paul tells him something that we don't hear preachers talk about very much today. Matter of fact, you hear very little about the doctrine or the theory of restitution. How that if you can make the wrong right, you ought to make it right. If it's within your power to go to somebody that you've done them wrong and correct it, why then you are to do it. And this is exactly what Paul told Onesimus. He said, Onesimus, you're saved now, but son, you're going to have to go home. You're going to have to make this wrong right. You're still a slave. You belong to Philemon. But one thing about old Paul I love, he said, I'm going to put a letter in your hand. Matter of fact, I know this guy. I know him very well, and he owes me one. And I'm going to tell him, Philemon, Onesimus is with me, and he's coming home. And when he gets there, brother, if he owes you anything, put it on my account. Oh, praise God. I'll pay the bill. I'll pick up the tab. Whatever it is, no matter how much it is, I'll pay for it. How many know that's a pretty good friend? If you got some bills and you're deep in debt, but they step up to the plate and say, put it on my account, I'll pay the bill and let them go free. How many know I would call that a pretty good friend? And that's just what Paul did for Onesimus. And Onesimus went back home, and there's still not a lot of information about his life. But friend, he surrendered himself to his master Philemon. And there's no talk of him being punished or any kind of terrible bad things coming to him. Amen. He was totally forgiven by his master. And praise God, he owed it all to the Apostle Paul. Neighbor, as I read this, and I'm not going to hold you long. Hey man, the bass player told me I couldn't preach long today. I'm teasing you, brother. He did tell me that, though. And I said, brother, I said, don't worry about it. I believe 20 minutes is long enough for a good sermon and too long for a lousy one. So nobody worry. We are going to beat the Baptist to the cafeteria. But I want you to grasp, I want you to see the picture of this little story today. Onesimus was restored and everything was all right because Paul said, put it on my account. You know, as I begin to read this story, as I begin to look at it, my, I see a beautiful story of redemption, sister. How that we were no more than runaway slaves. Did you know you used to be a slave? We were nothing but slaves to Satan, and our life was miserable, wretched, undone. We had no hope for the future, and we owed a debt that was out of this world. But I thank God for Jesus Christ, who said, let them go free, Father, and put it on my tab. I'll pay the price for their redemption. I'll pay the price for their salvation. I'll pay the price for them to have eternal life. Matter of fact, I'll pay the price for them to be saved and healed and blessed and have eternal life. Jesus loved you so much 2,000 years ago. When you couldn't pay it, he said, put that on my account. I was just a lad, just a young boy, when they sent me to Pentecostal Church of God youth camp. Anybody ever gone to youth camp when you were young? I did. PYPA. We are the members of the PYPA. We are in this battle and we're here to stay, routing out the devil, seeking souls to save. We are the members of the PYPA. And you know what? I'm still a PYPA. PYPA means Pentecostal Young People Association. Well, I'm a PYPA today because it means past young people's age. I'm a PYPA. But I remember going to youth camp. It was over here in Santa Cruz, Beulah Park. We used to rent that from the Nazarenes. They let me preach over there because I was a young preacher. But at that time, there was a song that came out, and it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And some of you feel like you might have known that song forever, but at that time it had just come out. And us PYPAs would sing that song together, and tears would flow down our faces, and we would worship the Lord. And the power of God would be so strong, so wonderful, so marvelous, so good. And we would stand and sing, He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. I don't know about you, but I drove a long ways to get here. Amen. To be able to stand behind this pulpit and tell you I am so thankful that 2,000 years ago, Jesus stood up and said, I'll pay the price. Put it on my account. I'll pay a debt that he cannot pay. It's too great. It's too high. It's out of this world. But Jesus Christ came and he paid that debt. He paid that debt. He paid it. Amen. You're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but he paid it with his own blood to give you life and more abundant. You see, I believe it was made up in the mind of God and in the mind of Jesus before he ever arrived on the scene down here. I can see the Father and the Son as they're having a conversation. And the Father knows that his creation that he made will sin. The Bible said one place he knew what was in man. You know, everybody's getting to sit down. Can I sit down with you this morning? Don't play baseball when you're an old man. It kind of messes up the left ankle. Amen. But I'm getting over it. You know, I believe Jesus made up his mind to die for you and me back before God even made his creation. Why do I say that? Because the Bible said in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the slain Lamb of God from the foundation pillars of the world. Before the world was created, before God flung the stars from his fingertips, come on, before he reached down and scooped out the Mississippi River with his little finger, before he breathed into man and man became a living soul, he knew what was in man and he knew man would fail. But oh, what a Savior. I said, oh, what a Savior that said, Papa, Daddy, God, Abba, I'll pay the price, put it on my account. I'm willing to go to earth, die on a cross, shed my spotless, sinless blood that they might have redemption. Come on, somebody. I thank God for the cross this morning. I thank God for Calvary this morning. I thank God for the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's what it took to buy you back to God. But Jesus was willing to do it, and he was willing to pay it, and he said boldly, Father, put that on my account. Oh, God. Let me see the hands of you that don't feel good today physically. Several hands. I'm hurting too, right here in this left ankle, hurting me. That's why I'm sitting here for a minute. But you know what? He not only paid for my salvation, he paid for my healing. Bible said, come on, church, get with me this morning. I'm preaching the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I preach Christ and I preach him crucified. But let me tell you about Jesus. Word of God said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Neighbor, when he went to that old rugged cross, he not only went there and shed his blood for your sin, but they stopped off at an old whipping post, and 39 stripes was placed upon his back. With every lash of that whip, that old Roman soldier was plowing out cancer. Come on, the Bible said the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. He was plowing out sugar diabetes. He was plowing out heart trouble. He was plowing out every affliction. He was plowing out the flu. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, oh, glory to God, Jesus paid it all. He paid for your sin. He paid for your sickness. He paid for your depression. He went to hell so you could go to heaven. Glory to God. He boldly said, charge it to my account. I'll pay the price and let them free. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm done preaching. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. I didn't come to tell you 10 ways to get a Cadillac this year. I didn't come to preach hyper faith. I come to tell you that the message of the hour is the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. And this sin, sick, perverted, dying world on their way to hell need to be pointed to the cross like that little boy. From the cross I can find my way home. We need to point men and women, boys and girls to the cross of Calvary. For it's only the cross that can make the difference in your life and bring salvation to your home. I thank God Jesus paid that price. And what a price, what a price. They spat upon him. They hit him. They punched him from the side and said, "Who hit you now, prophet? Prophesy. Tell us who hit you." They took his beard, Isaiah 50:6, and said they plucked it from his face, pulled and tore the hair out of his face. And yes, they stopped at an old whipping post and put 39 stripes upon his back, took him to the cross and nailed his hands and his feet to the cross and dropped it down in a hole, and all of his bones went out of joint. Friend, I can boldly tell you this morning, nobody suffered like Jesus. Nobody went through the pain and the agony that Jesus went through. And here's the beautiful thing of the gospel. Had you been the only one, had you been the only man, the only woman, the only boy, the only girl, I have come to the conclusion, I believe Jesus would have come for you like he came for the world. He loves you individually. He knows a hair upon your head. I'm telling you, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus was willing to give it all so you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to die and go into darkness for eternity, but you can spend heaven with him forever and forever and forever. The only message I brought today is this. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. He loves you. He really does. Jesus loves you, young man. Jesus loves you, young lady. Young married couple, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. It's not about what you've done. It's not about where you're going. It's about the cross in your life and the price that's been paid for your sin. And if you'll accept it, old things can pass away and all things become new in your life today. There was a little boy named Tommy. Tommy was, boy, he was pretty smart. He could do things. He could build things with his hands. He could make stuff. He was really smart. He made a little boat. It was so beautiful. He painted it. He put a sail on it. He even put a name on the back. When the day came that the little boat was finished, there was a little canal that ran on the outskirts of the city. Tommy said, "I'm going to take the boat down and float it today, see how it floats or if it even will float." And when little Tommy took that boat down there to the canal, he tied a string to it. Thank you, Brother Robert. Tied a string to the boat, set it in the water, and the rapids were really flowing fast. And boy, did that little boat ever go. It went so fast, and it was just going with the rapids. It didn't turn over one time. It was just floating beautiful. And Tommy was running alongside the bank trying to keep up with that little boat when all of a sudden, snap, the string snapped. And the little boat got away. Tommy continued to run. Oh, he ran and ran and ran and ran. But the boat completely got out of his sight, and he couldn't see it no more. Go a couple years ahead with me. Tommy's walking down Main Street. I remember doing this, looking in the sporting goods shop window in the hardware store. He saw that .22 rifle he'd like to have. He saw a 10-speed bicycle he'd like to have. He saw a baseball and a glove and a mitt. Oh, he was daydreaming. When all of a sudden he saw a boat. And he said, "That's my boat. Why, that's the exact boat that I made." And little Tommy ran inside the store. Mister, "That's my boat in the window. That's mine. I made that boat, mister. It's mine." The man said, "Well, son, I have no way knowing that's your boat. How could I prove it?" He said, "It's mine, mister, please." And tears welled up in his eyes. The man said, "Well, the boat's for sale. You come up with X amount of money, and it's yours." Tommy turned and ran out of that store as hard as he could, all the way home. Went into his bedroom. He had a piggy bank. He busted that piggy bank, took the money, put it in a paper sack, knowing that his daddy was going to spank him good tonight for busting that bank. But he put that money in a paper sack, and here he come all the way back to the store. He ran in, he threw it down on the counter, he said, "There it is, mister. I want my boat." The man said, he didn't even count the money, brother. He just said, "Take your boat, it's yours, son." He reached down, he got the boat out of the showcase. He did something very interesting. He pulled it to his breast, he embraced it, and he talked to it. You'd have thought it was a puppy. He began to talk to it. He said, little boat, you're twice mine. Little boat, I made you, but little boat, today I bought you." Can you see the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning? Little child, little child. Little girl, little mom, little dad, little boy, you're twice mine. My Lord, I made you. I created you. But then I bought you on a hill called Calvary, and now you're twice mine. Oh, the love of God. Would you just raise your hands and praise him? I'll tell you what. I love him. I love him. My ankle's hurting. I'm going to sit down here by this Fender guitar. Oh, God. Friend, I'm going to close. I've only preached 20 minutes, 25. But I gave you the gospel today. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He paid that price. He paid the debt. He did not owe. He didn't have to do it. But he did it. Because he loves you this morning. Oh, how he loves you and me. I wonder if there's one here this morning would say, "Tim, I know I'm not living right, preacher. I know I have unconfessed, unforsaken sin in my life. But I do realize there was a price paid for that sin. And only a fool would shun it or reject it." I'm asking you to accept that great love that he offers you today. Please. And you know, in the natural, looking at you beautiful people, probably looks like everybody here is a child of God. But I don't want to stand before Jesus someday, and we will, and him say, "Tim, when you preached in Campbell that morning, February 4th, 2018, there was somebody I sent there that was not right with me, and I wanted you to tell them I love them and give them an opportunity to receive my love." If you're here today and you're not right with God, please, please don't turn him away. Charge it to my account. He paid for your sin. He paid for mine. The debt has been paid. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, there were seven sayings from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. You know, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Many sayings. But the last one of the sayings was this. He cried, "It is finished." And did you know, hear this preacher, did you know in the Greek, you see the Bible was written in the New Testament in the Greek, the Old Testament in Hebrew, but in Greek, did you know he said, paid in full, paid in full. Father, I paid it, told you I would. And today on this Golgotha Hill, Father, it's paid in full. Cancel the debt. Put it on my account, and now it's paid in full. If you're here today and you know you're not right with God, please don't worry about what anyone thinks or says. Be honest before God and yourself. I want you to raise your hand. Just say, "Preacher, pray for me. I know I'm not right with God, but I want to be." Is there one? Raise your hand. Oh, God. Oh, God. "Preacher, I don't want to go to hell. I want to receive the gift that Jesus offers me, eternal life. He paid the price so I could go free." Oh, that I could go free. Is there one? Would you raise your hand today? I love you. He loves you. Charge it to my account. Okay, you can look at me, folks. I just want to tell you today, oh, my heart is heavy. Boy, does Jesus love you. I don't care what you've done. You might have committed adultery. You might have committed murder. His blood is sufficient. He can save you and forgive you and give you eternal life because he paid the debt. Remember that. If nothing else, get on your knees beside your bed this afternoon and just say, "Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. I receive the gift of eternal life that you paid for. You paid it, and I receive it. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go there, Lord. I want to receive eternal life." He'll give it to you. He'll save you. He'll wash your sins away. I love you. It's been good being with you. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Thank you. We appreciate this beautiful message today that the Lord has paid the price. Amen. If everybody in the world got on their knees right now and said, "Forgive me," they would be forgiven. Amen. Wait till August and it gets hot and we turn on our power and it's going to be a brownout. That means we're not going to get that cooling that we want. But not with God. He's paid the price. Thank you, Brother Smith, for this beautiful, beautiful message. Amen. Amen. We'd like, oh, I want to remind you, Wednesday night Bible study. Next Sunday at 10:30, we'll start our worship. 10 o'clock, donuts and coffee, but 10:30 we'll start our worship. And next Sunday night we have a board meeting, but the following Sunday night at 5 o'clock, that's the 18th, we're going to have our Sunday morning, Sunday night. Amen. Praise God. We appreciate you. Would you stand? We're just going to pray blessing. Just thank the Lord for this message, and we'll ask blessing on us all. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Brother Smith and the message that he's brought to us today. We thank you for Brother Rob and his singing for us. Pray, God, that you'll bless this your people. Touch our hearts today. Lord, you see where we're at. You see any need that we have. And I pray we come and we submit that before you. We cast our care upon you because you care. You love us so much. Lord, I pray that you'll touch our spirit. Lord, let us be strengthened in your word and in your spirit today. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless everyone in their jobs and in their daily routines. I pray for everyone that doesn't feel well, be healed in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to every relationship problem. Lord, that you'll bring peace, calm, and blessing to your people. We honor you today. You are our God, our Savior, and there's power in your blood, and we honor you for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Oh, next week, something not new overall, but new to this sanctuary. We'll be here, something new. You're going to see it.